Oh, good to look out and see each one of you. I pray you had a great week leading up to this morning, and that our hearts are tuned to our Heavenly Father and His holy and divine will as we begin to open His book to study from the Word of God. Glad for your presence, for those also who are on our streaming services. Thankful that we could all be together and study from His Word. One of the first things children learn is that God loves them. And they believe that quickly. However, as we grow older, and the disappointments and the hardships of life enter into our life, that concept of the love of God begins to be clouded. And we hear statements like, if God is so loving and gracious, how could He have let my loved one die? If God is so loving and gracious, how did He let me suffer a financial reversal? If God is so loving and gracious, why did He let me contract a terminal illness? And the questions go on and on. And what we have to learn is that God loves us. That lesson learned as children should actually grow deeper in our hearts and in our lives, until we understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that God truly loves us and cares for us. In order to support that lesson, I want us to take us into the Old Testament. Brother Ron, doing a great job with his class on discipleship, though, covers most of the New Testament during that course. And then last week, Carl came to me and said, whatever you do, don't go into the book of Romans. So I decided I'd go all the way back into the Old Testament this week and not create a problem or get involved in something they're talking about. The book of Hosea is a great book, tremendous book. The major themes of the book of Hosea are found in the first three chapters of the book. They are: Israel's sin of idolatry is grievous. It's just like physical adultery, but it's spiritual adultery. Israel's punishment is certain. Very definitely, God is going to punish them for their sins. However, beyond the judgment, there was hope for a glorious future. And that's really the summation of the great book of Hosea. But I want to take you into the book to understand and appreciate what it means for God to love us. Hosea was a young prophet during the period of 753 to 715 B.C. He was a contemporary of Amos and also Isaiah. He was known as the deathbed prophet of Israel because he was the last prophet God sent to the northern kingdom before the Assyrian captivity. His work was to call the people of God to repent, to come back to the covenant relationship that they had experienced. It did not occur. The hammer fell, the curtain came down, and Israel was defeated by Assyria, and most of the people carried off into captivity. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, God said, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Sometimes statements of the Old Testament have a dual purpose. This is one of them. It was a reference to God bringing Israel out of Egypt, as you know the story. But it also was a reference to God bringing his son, Jesus, out of the land of Egypt when he was a child. Here's what he said about Israel. Israel is my firstborn son, Exodus 4, verse 22. Now, how could he state that Israel was his firstborn son? There were nations in existence long before Israel ever became a nation. In fact, 70 souls went down into Egypt and came out about 2 to 3 million people. It was then they became a nation, when God made them his children. The word firstborn sometimes has a time significance. If you were to talk to me about your child that was the first to be born to the family, you would say, this is my firstborn, the first one. But it has a different meaning also. It can have a meaning regarding preeminence. And that's how it is used here. What God is saying is that he took Israel from among all of the nations of the world, lifted them up, and gave them the preeminence above all other nations. They were his chosen people. We have a great example of this point in Psalms 89, verse 27, when God said regarding David, and this is another one, also has a reference to our Lord, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. He raised David up, and he was the great king of Israel. He raised Jesus above all mankind, all authority. And that's why in Matthew 28, Jesus could say, I have all authority in heaven and in earth. But despite all that God did for Israel, this is the northern kingdom. You remember the people of Israel were divided when Rehoboam took the throne and caused a division among the people. So these are the northern tribes spoken of as Israel, while the southern tribes were described as Judah. So Hosea was a prophet to this northern kingdom. And despite all that God did for them, they forgot him, sinned against him, forsook him through idolatry, ingratitude, and hypocrisy. What a shame. God warned his people. He warned them over and over and over again, sending prophets to call them back because he loved them so much. He did not want to see them punished. And so you have in 2 Kings 17, verses 13 through 15, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, all of his prophets. Notice that? Every seer, every one of them saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants and the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. When the law was given, God warned them in the great book of Deuteronomy that they should serve him. And if they would serve him, he would bless them, take care of them, provide for them. And then he sent prophets to warn them because of their disobedience, their turning to idols instead of him. And over again, he sent prophets to his people to warn them. Why? Because he loved them and did not want to see them punished. So the Lord listed Israel's sins. They were complacent about spiritual attitudes, including a rejection of God's love. They pursued materialism as the dominant way of life. They depended on international alliances, demonstrated a lack of faith and trust in God. Even their priests were morally corrupt leading the people away from God and his ways. And they made images of calves and worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they were hard-hearted and refused to respond to repeated warnings of impending doom. And in that same passage of 2 Kings, it is stated they made their sons and their daughters to pass through the fires. You're talking about having rejected God, having turned their backs upon God, in spite of all that God had done for them. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. He made it possible for them to cross the Red Sea and destroy the Egyptians who were chasing them and would have taken them back into captivity. Over and over again, God provided for his people. Great miracles were performed. Even while they were in the land of Egypt, there was the great battle between God and the idols of that land. God, of course, being victorious and proving that he was the only God there is. Instead of, they turned to idols and away from God. God used certain metaphors. This is what's interesting, I think, to describe the relationship between Israel and himself. We won't have time to discuss them thoroughly. Let me go over them quickly. The nation was like an unfaithful wife, a stubborn heifer, cow, evaporating dew and dwindling mist and smoke, a hot oven, a burned cake, a silly dove. Now, you may have trouble understanding that, but if you've ever gone out into the field and hunted doves, you know what he's talking about. You can have as many hunters around the field as you can get, and when the doves decide they're going to feed in that field, they're going to feed regardless of the hunters and how many dove are killed. They continue to fly in to feed in that field, and the pops are capping all around them. A silly dove. Great description of Israel. A foolish farmer, a useless vessel, a worthless fruit tree, a helpless wig, and a disobedient child. Look at all those. All of these are found in the book of Hosea to describe how God viewed his people, how wicked they had become. They sustained four different relationships to the Lord. A wife who commits adultery with many lovers, a child who rebels against his parents, a vineyard whose root is dried up and bears no fruit, a patient who goes to a doctor who doesn't even have the power or the medicine to heal her. And yet, the God of mercy, the God of mercy is depicted as a forgiving husband, a loving parent, a healing physician, and the owner of the vineyard, Israel. As a consequence of Israel's disobedience and refusal, I want you to understand they existed for over 200 years, God still loving them and caring for them. But he says, I will reject and forget them. I will withdraw from them. I will depart from them. I will chastise them and send them into captivity. That broke God's heart to have to say that to the people he had chosen and made them his firstborn. And so the Assyrian captivity, 2 Kings 17, verses 5 and 6. The king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the ninth year of Hosea's life, he was the king. The king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. Did he keep his word? Does God mean what he says? Absolutely, and there's proof. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and he removed them from his presence. But keep in mind, please, that it was over a period of 200 years before he dropped the curtain on his people Israel. And through that 200 years, prophet after prophet was sent by God to call his people back to him. Now we have an amazing love story. It is truly amazing. One of the great stories, I think, of Scripture. God tells Hosea to go out and to marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. It was a penetrating object lesson regarding how God views spiritual adultery and the unfaithfulness of his people. Don't ever fail to miss that. There are four views regarding Hosea marrying Gomer. There's the hypothetical marriage view that it was just a fairy tale, not really true. There's the spiritual infidelity view that views Gomer as being an idolatrous woman and a temple prostitute. Then there's the literal view. Gomer was an immoral woman at the time Hosea married her. And then the chaste view is that she was not adulterous at the time of the marriage, but that she became adulterous. I'm going to let you make up your own mind. I have my view of what she was. But you can make up your own mind and take whichever view you choose. As we move on, the Lord gave names now to the children born to Gomer. And I say that because most commentators think the only child that belonged to Hosea was the first one, Jezreel. And the other two probably from other men. So God says, name your first son here, Jezreel. That's God's judgment. He was going to scatter the people. That's what the term meant. And it was a testimony to what would take place if they did not turn back to him. Then Loruhamah, meaning not loved, no pity, no mercy. God would show Israel no mercy, no pity if she did not repent. And then the third child, another son, Lomi, meaning not my people. They will no longer be my people. Think about that. In your relationship with God this morning, what if you heard God say, you will not be my people any longer? Gomer left Hosea. Left the marriage relationship, went out, and was promiscuous. We don't know how many. Some believe that the time came when Hosea bought her back from a man. Some believe it was actually a slave market. Look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to me, go again. Love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel who looked to other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 omers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. Now, David's been dead for hundreds of years. So you know this has to refer to what? The time of Christ. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness to the latter days. I want you to listen to this passage. My compassion is stirred. God is speaking to his people Israel. My compassion is stirred. And he cried out in anguish, how can I give you up? I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not come to destroy you. If they would just repent, he would not bring all of those things against his people Israel. God loved them. You talk about God's love. He's unwavering in his love. His love for his people continued, as we'll see later, But the curtain wants to drop in spite of his compassion. He shows his kindness and his generosity over and over again to his people. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to be lost forever. He doesn't want you to leave his side. He doesn't want you to leave his relationship with you. He wants to hold you in close relationship and bless you and help you. And he will abide with you even during the difficult times of life. Acts 10:34 tells us God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. Quick passage that we just looked at reminds us of a statement from the Apostle Paul, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you have those doubts about God's love for you, you think about this story in the book of Hosea. You think about this prayer of Paul expressing how much God actually and truly believes in us and loves us. So we have an unbroken love from a broken heart. It was God's love that rekindled Hosea's love for his wife when he said, go and love her again. The parallel is clear. Hosea's wife had committed physical adultery. Israel had committed spiritual adultery, just like you and I can. That's why this lesson is so important. Hosea brings back his adulterous wife, and loves her again. What a beautiful love story. I know situations where that has happened, and in other situations, it did not happen. And they went through a divorce, but here, Hosea, knowing how adulterous she has been, takes her back and loves her again. That's just like God taking us back and loving us when we make mistakes, when we turn away from him and go into the world. Why will God continue to love his people and take them back time and time again? Because he is God and not a man. He is the Holy One among us. So therefore, Gomer should have appreciated and loved Hosea for all that he did. Married her, took her back, probably buying her even from a slave market for the price of a slave. God chose Israel. He nourished, instructed, and protected her, just like he has promised to do for you and for me. So how could Israel ever question God's love and refuse to respond to it after all of that? And let me ask you, how can you question God's love today? How dare you to question God's love for you? Yes, there are difficult times. Yes, there are moments when we don't know where to turn, what to do, how to handle the situation. But you should never, ever question God's love for you. And this lesson teaches that. God's love demonstrated in the wilderness over and over again, as you remember the story, by his long suffering with his people in spite of their sins and their difficulties. He said, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords and bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. They hardened their necks. They did not believe in the Lord their God. The words of the prophets fell on deaf ears. The people continued their sinful ways. They were stiff-necked as their fathers, and would not acknowledge their sins and continued in their sinful ways in spite of all that God had done for them. And I want you to stop and reflect upon that this morning. You need to reflect upon all that God has done for you. Do you understand He planned for your salvation even before He created this world? Do you understand that all of this time, after the sin of Adam and Eve, He was preparing the world so you could be saved? You understand that when the Word came into this world, He came as the beloved Son of God? Do you understand, just as was presented by our brother at the Lord's table today, how that He died upon the cross? None of that had to be done, but it was done because God loves you. God loves me. God wants us to have a loving relationship with Him. How in the world can we ever begin to question the love of God? Now the amazing love of God comes to the front. Six promises God makes to His people in the book of Hosea. Even as unfaithful as Israel had been, God promised them that He would redeem and restore them. Look at these promises. I will allure her. That's like the young man who's wooing the girl that he wants to marry. I will not force her. I will woo her. Simple, beloved, love and compassion. I will give her. He guarantees a return to their blessings. I will take away the names of the Baals, and she shall call me Ishi, my husband, instead of Baali, which means my Lord of subjection and fear. I will betroth her. Israel will enter into a new relationship that would never end. I will answer or respond. God will respond to you and to me, just as He did Israel. I will plant, then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Having reference to the coming of His Son and the establishment of the Christian religion. How do we know that? Well, there are two statements that I want to call your attention to as we begin to close the lesson. One is by Paul in Romans 9:25 and verse 26. And he says to Hosea, I will come, or I will call them my people who are not my people. That's just what we read about in Hosea. And I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. All of those promises had reference to the coming of Christ and the great spiritual awakening that He made possible. Once you were not a people, Peter wrote, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter 2:10. God had Hosea to write that book, not only for the benefit of the northern kingdom, Israel, but for you and for me. He wanted you and me to understand how much He truly loves us. He wants us to understand how supportive He will be in the dark days of this world in which we live. He wants us to understand that if we will commit to Him, He will save us through the remission of our sins and obedience to the gospel. And He will save us eternally. We'll live forever with Him. What a great and wonderful book about God's love for His people. Don't ever let me hear you question God's love. You have no right. I don't care how dark your days may be. God still loves you. And God is there to support you. You've got to do your part. And God wants you to do your part. You're here today and subject to heaven's invitation in any way whatsoever. I bid you to think seriously about your soul in view of eternity. There can be no question that God loves you. He's demonstrated that in so many wonderful ways. He wants you to serve him. He wants to have a relationship with him. And if you're subject to him in whatever sense that may be, won't you come? While together we stand and sing with Brother Matt.